conference. Next, it's my pleasure to introduce the principal of Millennium Integrated Primary School and Belfast Telegraph Woman of the Year 2014, Mary Rolston. Mary has stepped forward to lead change. Her school started in a derelict house with 10 pupils and is now a thriving integrated primary school with around 280 pupils. She has a drive, dedication and focus that she gives to her pupils. She's been teaching for around 25 years and has always been involved in cross-community work and is passionate about the impact of integrated education on young children. I know that Mary is modest about the recognition that she has received, and she's quick to get dedicated to the good work of all teachers and schools across all sectors in our community. But I ask you to give the warmest welcome to someone who is indeed stepping forward for our children and young people in education, Mary Rolston.
Before I start, I want to just take the opportunity, because I've obviously never been to an Alliance conference before, but our school in particular, I can't talk about other integrated schools, but we owe a great debt of gratitude to the Alliance Party, because it was one of your members that was the catalyst for our school starting. A member who put a leaflet through the doors in Carriduff. And it was the response to the leaflet, which was asking, was anybody interested in starting an integrated school, that was the catalyst for our school. And that person is here. It's Margaret Marshall, and I would like to thank her enormously. I've been asked to speak about the opportunities and about the challenges of being of working within integrated education. And I think I've worked in many different countries. I've worked in schools that would be deemed to be elite schools. I've worked in schools where you've worked with very marginalised children. And what I would say about the massive opportunity of working in an integrated school is it's a really vibrant sector to work in. It's a school that is, it's a sector that's really committed to moving things forward, to making a difference for children, and to look at the wider context of the importance of having children together. And we know that we make a difference for the children. We know we make a difference for the staff. We know that we make a difference for the families that come to our school, because quite apart from this whole notion that we are a sector for middle class parents who already think that way, that is totally wrong. We have many families who come to us for completely different reasons. And in my time as principal, I've been accused of running a Protestant school. I've been accused of running a Catholic school. I was told that when I introduced the teaching of Irish in the school, that it was infiltration by stealth. So it's not the way people perceive it to be. So we know that we are making a difference in the context of Northern Ireland. For 7 years, if you just have a primary school, or 8 years if you have a nursery school, through the curriculum and through special events, you are constantly breaking down barriers. And because parents are so involved in the life of our school, you're also breaking down barriers with parents, because they are part of the school. So they are, first and foremost, when they come into school, they make friends, and they don't know anything about the different labels that could be attached to them. Not that we attach labels to them, but as things go on in school, they will see that there are differences. But we are looking, first and foremost, talking to the children about being special, about the fact that we have lots of things in common, but how boring it would be if we all thought the same, or looked the same, or liked the same things. So there's a whole agenda about difference is good. And then when they get to the point a little bit further on, when they're a little bit older, we start to do all sorts of things. So they have opportunities to explore, and I will emphasise the word together. They are all together 5 days a week, and they are exploring together through the curriculum and through the special events. And we're doing things that are perceived to belong to one tradition or another tradition, or other traditions outside of the context of Northern Ireland. So in our school, our children will sell poppies. We will celebrate remembrance. We will do harvest service. They will do games that are perceived. We will do Gaelic football. We will do cricket. We will do rugby. We will celebrate St. Patrick's Day. We will have Jubilee Street parties. We'll go to Stormont when the Queen was over visiting. We'll prepare our Catholic children for the sacraments, but our non-Catholic children will also be part of that preparation. They will also take part in the service, as will the parents who are Catholic and the parents who are non-Catholics. So we are constantly breaking down barriers. We visit other churches and other places of worship. We have very good relationships with people from all sorts of walks of life. We work at getting children to appreciate diversity, that diversity is important. When we are going through, we have started the very difficult phase, because we're a primary school, so obviously we have to look at how we do things, of the anniversaries. So in our school, and I doubt there are very many schools in Northern Ireland who had children from both traditions, the signing of the Ulster Covenant. It was a learning process for the staff to plan the workshop, but also with the children. So we talked to them about the Ulster Covenant. We talked to them about why the Protestant community in Northern Ireland at that time wanted to sign the Ulster Covenant, what was behind that, how the Catholic community were feeling. So we would talk to the children about that. And at the end of our great workshop, the children were actually more interested in the fact that Northern Ireland didn't exist at that time. They couldn't understand it. How could it have not existed? So it was a great workshop, but those are the kind of things that we are doing all the time. One of the things that is hard for us, I suppose, is that people view our schools as totally, you know, it's just about Catholics and Protestants being together, but it's also about inclusion in the wider sense. I don't see it just as that. And so we are, as a sector, we are very good at including the children that other schools don't want, the marginalised children, the children who are maybe more challenging, particularly if it's behaviour. We welcome them all, and we work very hard to meet their needs, because I believe passionately, and my staff believe passionately, that every child deserves every possible chance, and that there should be no difference between children at all and what you try to do for them. So it's a fabulous sector to work in, and those are the kind of opportunities, and doing that kind of work gives us the opportunity to, I talk about the ripple effect. You know, my husband is from Northern Ireland. I'm not. I came in the mid-70s, but he didn't meet anybody from the Catholic community until he went to university. And that was very hard for me to believe, because I had been brought up in something completely different. I was also asked to talk to you a little bit about the challenges. And it seems very strange for me to stand up here, and you can hear my passion for integrated education and for cross-community work and all the rest of it. And the first one is shared education. And I say that because I suppose at the beginning, the whole sort of notion that integrated schools had their day. They weren't growing. They weren't increasing in number. It wasn't really working. And it was very hard for me to sit and listen to researchers saying that, knowing that our growth was constantly still sort of prevented, and everything that could possibly be done was done to make sure our schools did not grow. But I say it from the point of view that there are too many examples of shared education where it's time-bound, where it's occasional, where the occasional contact is the preferred option. The low levels of contact, I believe, will lead to maintaining the whole division aspect. It is not realistic. It's a bit like the old EMU that did not work. Children need to be together regularly. It needs to be in the context, you know, in the school context. Yeah, in the school context, if something is said or something is done, you can explore it there. It's meaningful. If you're just doing a little bit of contact now and again, it's not. And, you know, I think it's shocking, because my understanding is that as an integrated school, all this massive tranche of funding that is coming, we can't access that, although we do it day by day by day, every hour of the time that the school is open unless we have a partner school from the maintained or the control sector, and we do what I feel is almost like a fabricated little bit of contact. And then if we do that little bit of contact, and it might only be one class in the school, then we tick the box, we can have the money. It seems very wrong to me. And then those two groups of children or three groups of children will go on to the statistics of shared education. I'm almost at the point, our school motto is a shared school for a shared future. I've been so annoyed about this approach that I nearly want to change the school motto. I won't, because we believe passionately in the shared future, but I think it needs to be challenged. Now, on the same token, I was at the DUP education debate, and there were two principals who were making the similar comments to myself, one from a controlled school, one from a maintained school. And they were doing fabulous work. So within the context, there are fabulous examples of shared education, but there are too many that are not good enough. We also need to be saying loud and clear that, yes, sharing is good. Everybody is on a different path. There is a continuum, but we mustn't forget that integrated education is really like the Rolls-Royce model. Done well, it is the Rolls-Royce model. One of the challenges as well is that we are bound in terms of criteria for children coming into our schools, if we are oversubscribed, to do the 40-40-20, 40% Catholic, 40% Protestant, 20% other. And we are letting down our families who are in mixed relationships. They fall foul of it. Sometimes they don't know whether they want their children to make the sacraments. They don't know if they want to designate them Catholic. They don't know if they want to designate them Protestant. And we are letting them down because we are tied in, particularly when those families don't get into our schools. And they feel very strongly that they are pushed back into sectors they don't want to be in. Many of these children in our context, we have a very high percentage of children from mixed marriages as such, or mixed relationships. Their roots are in East and West Belfast. Many of our children, their extended family is in East and West Belfast. They need to be prepared. They need to understand. And the parents desperately want them to be able to go into both communities and understand the sensitivities. And it's terrible. I find it very hard when we turn away families who are from mixed relationships. I find this one very hard to struggle, that the big important decisions are being generally made by representatives who are loyal to their own institutions, whether that's the civil service, whether it's education and library boards, whatever it is, they are loyal to their own traditions, their own institutions, their own cultures, and they're often out of touch with what younger families want. My own son made me laugh when he was in school because he went to all the pre-formals and the formals of controlled schools, maintained schools, Irish medium and integrated schools. And as a result, he would bring into the family home so many from all those kind of backgrounds. And listening to them, them now in their late 20s and early 30s, they want something different, but they're not the decision makers. The decision makers are making the wrong decisions for the young people that are coming up, that are travelling, and who want to be together, want to be our children to be together. But unfortunately, it's the wrong generation often that are making the decisions. Do I need to stop? Okay. Fear leading the opposition to integrated schools. When a controlled or a maintained school wants to grow, there isn't the same opposition because the controlled school doesn't see the maintained children as their children and the maintained school doesn't see the controlled children as theirs. When an integrated school wants to grow, the avalanche comes on us and the opposition is enormous. It has eased, I have to say, since the judicial review, when the department was hauled over the coals for the fact that they haven't been facilitating integrated education. And it is refreshing that things are changing, but not enough. I'm almost there. The underfunding of NICE. and their limited role in comparison with the ELBs and the CCMS, and the consequent underrepresentation or no representation of our sector when major decisions are being made. When all the work was going on about sharing and everything and about the area plan and all the rest of it, we were only allowed in at the very end. If they are truly committed to sharing, they can't even do the representation in a shared way. So those are the kind of challenges of our sector. And I'm sorry if I've gone on too long. Thank you.